I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 11 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast, Exploring Our Biases.
Yeah, so going into this conversation, I'll admit up front that I feel a little nervous, a little hesitant going into it because, first of all, no one really, for being honest, like wants to admit that they have biases. And so we'll do some of that admitting today. But it also is just a topic that's very, it's very rife with, I'd say like with stress and with, you know, feeling judged from all different kinds of people. And I think our approach here is just to be really sincere and just to explore what biases we have in the quest of hopefully becoming a little bit more aware and ultimately becoming better people.
Someone recently asked me, like, how do you determine the content and the topics for your podcast? And I told them, you know, we just actually, sometimes we're just talking and having a conversation. We're like, oh, this would be a great episode for the podcast. And we like write it down in our notes app.
Or on so these are all based off of, real conversations that we've had. And then the shows themselves are real conversations. We're exploring these things.
But when you brought up this idea, I think we like had 7 or 8 like right off the bat. And then this was one of the ones you proposed. And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But I think after just, if you think about the last year with whether it's like political, whether Democrat or Republican, right? Searching for the truth and candidates and what they stand for, or, you know, what's happening in like the Black community or in the Asian community and all of these kind of racially heightened tensions and killings and all of that. Like, I realize that it is important to talk about these things and bias and where it comes from and what we believe to be true and really pushing back and challenging ourselves to like examine what is bias, do we have some, and being okay to acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah. So before we get into it, I want to make sure that we are not committing the Dunning-Kruger effect. Are you familiar with this?
Tell me more.
The Dunning-Kruger effect is when you learn a little bit about a topic and you feel like since you know a little bit, the topic seems really simple and comprehensible and you almost oversimplify it because of your actual ignorance about what everything includes.
Well, I feel like I'm claiming that I know nothing about this topic, but that we're just having this conversation as a way to like really get more acclimated to like what this topic is about and, you know, kind of giving a taste to our audience to get them to like really experience this conversation and then get them to search and learn more.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring that up because that's a type of bias. And I think that that's the case here where we're really just, you know, just learning about this and just exploring this together. So for anyone listening, we kind of invite you along with us. Hopefully you can learn a little bit from us as well. But this is maybe the beginning or the continuation of your own exploration of how you want to learn more about bias and confront some of your own. So why are we talking about this? I heard this quote from Verna Myers. She gave a TED Talk. I believe she's a diversity consultant. But she said, stop trying to be good people. We need real people. And that struck me because I think we want to talk about this because we imagine that we are good people. And that's, I think, part of our quest, in a sense, is to like become better and better versions of ourselves. And I think there's a point where we kind of want to tell ourselves that we already are a good person. And I would agree with that.
So sure, like, right? Like we don't rob banks. We don't hold up people at gunpoint. Like we don't do these bad things.
We're so nice to people who you know, we interact with and so on. But I kind of don't want to stop there. And I think that's where the second half of her quote comes in. Like we need real people. So we're going to be real. And a portion of that is acknowledging our weaknesses. And I think along with it, acknowledging our biases as well.
Okay.
So we'll get to more applications, but that's really like one of the applications that we'll touch upon at the end is just the idea of being real.
So why do you think it's hard to talk, even just like we bring up the topic bias and like you and I already like kind of uncomfortable and feeling like we might say something wrong and people might take it the wrong way? Like, why do you think that is?
I think there's a few reasons. For one, we, like I said, like we already imagine ourselves as good people. So if we were to open up and be vulnerable about some degree of weakness or shortcoming that we have, then that kind of flies in the face of who we think we already are. And I also think the idea of being judged as well, right? Like if someone were to admit, like, I'm biased against like these types of people.
Old people. Uneducated people.
You can fill in the blank with anything. Then that opens us up to the scrutiny of others. And that's really uncomfortable too. So it's a little bit easier just not to broach it, not with ourselves and not with others, and almost pretend like it doesn't exist so that we can maybe more easily get along. Meanwhile, bias persists and nothing is really solved.
Okay. Right. So if we're not really talking about it or even acknowledging it, right, like we're not held accountable and then we're not growing or getting better in any way. We're basically just hiding some of our deficiencies, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Well, and also like being labeled as biased or being labeled as racist, it carries with it some very real consequences as well. I mean, people are losing careers and they're losing reputations. There's really a lot at stake. I mean, so I'll just put it out there from now. Like, I'm biased. I'm racist. I don't want to be. So I'm going to kind of get the denial out of the way so that I can actually try to make progress in these areas.
Well, it reminds me of our book club episode in season 2. We read by Ibrahim X. Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he is a black man and he discusses like, I have done and said and thought racist things. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a racist, right? So you can do biased things and not necessarily always be biased. So it's like kind of checking yourself, checking your attitude, checking your interactions at the door.
Yeah.
And calling them what they are and doing better the next time. That you don't have to be in this like fixed state of holding things against people.
Right.
All right. So should we define what bias is?
It's my favorite part of every show.
When Rosanna defines it.
You got to break out the definition.
All right. So bias is the tendency to favor one thing over another. Which if you think about like that definition, like that shouldn't scare us into having this conversation.
Right.
Because scientists who study human behavior say that bias is a natural, normal tendency and believe that it is a human survival defense mechanism. Therefore, everybody is biased.
Right.
So like you shouldn't have to be afraid to say I'm biased.
Right.
Or I shouldn't have to be afraid to say I'm biased.
It's because like the same as
by
saying,
nature, yeah, we are all biased, every single one of us.
It's just a natural part of human psychology.
So, here's the question. What types of things do people favor? If you boil this down to like a very basic understanding or a very basic level, we favor certain flavors, right?
Favor the flavor.
Certain colors, certain textures, certain sports, maybe even certain cities or teams. But people don't get bent out of shape over that, right? Like you like a chocolate shake. And even though I love chocolate, I like a vanilla shake, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what I favor. But most bias is therefore harmless. The problem doesn't come from favoring a certain music or food. People will most likely admit that. It's when we have biases against other people.
We just do it towards people.
Correct.
And yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit about bias. I know you have this quote here from a Time interview in 2019. Do you want to? It kind of really just plays along with what I've just said.
Yeah, it was fun to read about this. So the quote that I have is that the brain needs to sort everything. The food we eat, the furniture we use, whatever. We also sort people, and that sorting can lead to bias. Once we have categories, we have beliefs and feelings about what's in those categories. And that's by Jennifer Eberhardt in a Time interview from 2019. And a lot of what we quote, we'll try to make sure that we provide links in the show notes for all of you if you want to check out a little bit more. It's fun just reading and exploring a lot about what's been said about it. Another thing that I've heard too, and so the brain needs to categorize things. We can't, otherwise we really suffer from decision fatigue when we have to like scrutinize every individual sensory input from the ground up, right? So our brain creates these shortcuts so we can come to conclusions a little faster. But when it pertains to people and we are taking a unique human individual and then placing them into a predetermined category, that creates problems. I also heard bias described as not necessarily as a way to categorize things, but as a way to connect things. And so, like, someone made the statement that when I say jelly, your mind most likely is going to connect it to peanut butter. And so, like, we automatically draw different kinds of connections between all kinds of things. And it's just because, and like those two, like peanut butter and jelly, don't really have anything in common with one another, except that culturally the peanut butter and jelly sandwich is, at least for me, like a staple of my classroom lunch times growing up. And so it's natural that someone growing up in that environment would make that connection. And so you got to think about what other connections now, when we bring in, you know, a human element, whether it's their skin color or their age or their race or
whatever. Class or right. Religion, right? So it's the association that we're making with whatever that object or person is.
Yes.
And so would you say that biases are inherent, or do you think that they're learned, or is a little bit of both?
Well, this is, I don't know if I can answer that question, because, like, on the one hand, we're saying that, like, biases are, like, natural human, this is just natural part of human psychology. But on the other hand, like, I've heard biases described as kind of like this invisible fog that we all breathe in. So it's kind of in the environment, and I don't want to say, like, I guess they could be explicitly taught. I'm sure there are some if we were to scrutinize ourselves enough. But at the same time, like, it's almost like it's a way of thinking that we probably would even be hard for us to admit to ourselves that we're thinking in that way. But it kind of manifests in certain actions or certain decisions. So yes, like it's both. Like it can be taught because of the way, like, some of those statements or actions are manifesting those underlying biases. But at the same time, that, like, our mind is going to make connections in one form or another.
Okay. So are there varying sorts of biases, or is it just like you're just biased? Like, there's an overall bias, or is there kind of a breakdown of different ways that people are biased or things can be kind of deconstructed?
Yes, there's a lot. Well, first we can list, we've already started to list, like, some of the different, like, categories or, like, ways bias can be directed towards different people. I guess what it breaks down to is, for one, anyone who's different from you, right? We tend to favor ourselves and people like us. So the more different, like in literature and in, like, sociology, you talk about the other, right, the person kind of outside group, so we can talk about that. But then also, like, what you find is that, like, there are sort of these implicit biases that reach a cultural level, where even if you're in that group, you still may have negative biases towards others in that group too.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, like, you can have racial bias, you could have bias against someone's gender, someone's gender identity, so against someone's age, against someone's body shape. There's a long, actually, I didn't print out a list, but there is, and I'll reference this again at the end too, there's an implicit association test you can take, and it actually, like, lists all these different categories. You can actually take it's called a touch test, and you can see, at least according to this test, how biased you are towards these different groups of people.
And it will calculate that for you, like, based on what you...
Yeah, it calculates as best as you can. I'll describe the test later.
Okay.
So we'll put a link to that in our show notes too. It's pretty interesting. So let me walk you through a few different types of biases that we can have. The first one is the... maybe one of the bigger ones. It's confirmation bias. So this is a really insidious kind of bias, because when we hold a particular belief or perspective, then we tend to find the facts that confirm our belief or perspective.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So if you look, like, back on your, like, let's go, just go back to the stories we tell ourselves. Like, we can be like, oh, I am a, we say, like, an athletic person. Maybe somebody believes that about themselves. Then the way they look back at their life is they remember a lot of the highlights of their athletic experiences. that kind of reinforce to them that fact.
Okay.
Or it works negatively too, where someone might say, I'm not that athletic of a person. They look back and look at all the lowlights of that too, even if they have had identical experiences. Or if you have one person who's religious and one person who's not religious, like they can look at the same experience and one person can say like, oh, I attribute what happened as, you know, that's from God. And the other person might look at that and be like, no, like this is how I interpret. Like, so you're kind of interpreting facts along the lines of what you already believe.
Okay.
So this, it relates to a lot of different things. And so it's, if we were to apply it to people, like you might say, like, say if you have an existing implicit bias towards a specific racial group, let's just say. So a confirmation bias would be if you were to see someone from that racial group engage in some kind of a behavior that you would...
Is negative
or, yeah, you disapprove of, or you have already connected with it, then you would use that to be like, see, like that,
all
that confirms my perspective.
This kind of people do this.
Exactly.
Okay.
Even if, you know, it's not true or you're misinterpreting what's actually taking place or whatnot. The next one, so I have a list here. I'll try to go a little faster through these. There's a self-serving bias, which is attributing success. So anytime we personally experience success, we attribute that to our own skills. Like we can take responsibility for the successes that we experience. But the failures we experience are attributable
always someone else, right?
To other factors.
It's never because you did something wrong or didn't deserve it. It's because your boss hates you or because you didn't. Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody else's problem. Okay.
So then there's the, going along with it is the fundamental attribution error, which is the, I might be oversimplifying this, but it's the opposite of the self-serving bias. When we, when someone else exhibits a flaw of some kind, we blame it on them, on like their personal character or attributes. And when someone else experiences a success, we attribute it to environmental factors and not that person.
So we don't want to give them the credit,
right,
but we want to give them all of the fault.
Exactly.
Awesome. Great.
So an example that I read about this is drivers. Let's say there's someone who's driving kind of like slowly or erratically, and you know, there's some critique that you have. And then you drive, you're able to pass them up and you can see who it actually is. Like we then like place whatever driving flaw we witnessed like on like them personally.
Because and it's a woman, because it's an old person who can't see over the steer, like, right.
Right, and it doesn't matter who it is, we come up with a reason for it. Like, it's a woman, it's like, oh, this pesky, like, woman driver. Or if it's a teen, like, this punk kid. If it's, you know, it's just some white guy, like, this arrogant, you know, prude. Like, whatever the case may be, you can come up with a reason.
We're not just blaming the fact that that person is a bad driver.
It's not that individual.
It's because of...
It's because of their category.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's also in-group bias, which I referenced a little bit, but it's favoring those who are most like you. There's the curse of knowledge, which I thought was interesting. I never thought about it like this before. This is true. Once we know something, then we assume others know it too. And we pretty quickly forget about the time when we didn't know it.
Okay. So because we're older and wiser.
Right.
Or we've experienced it or we've gone through it, like...
We forget there was a time we didn't know that information, so we just assume everybody must know this. There's the optimism-pessimism bias, which we overestimate outcomes based on our mood. So if we're feeling really good, we tend to be overly optimistic about an outcome. And if we're kind of in a cruddy mood, then we become overly pessimistic.
And that's a type of bias.
Yeah.
I never really thought of that.
And this is all coming from a list I found on Psychology Today.
Okay.
Published a few years ago. There's the decline bias. Now, we've talked about this, too, I think, when we were talking about kids. But it's favoring the way things used to be over the way things are or we project that they will be. So we're always talking about the good old days and remembering, like, kind of crystallizing the way things were and then projecting some kind of decline. And that's, I mean, you can track this over thousands of years. People have always said, like, things are going down the tubes.
Yeah. Kids these days.
Exactly.
They show no respect.
Right. All right. So those are different types of bias.
And you know what? I don't mean to make light because we're kind of like laughing at some of these, but I think the reason why I'm kind of laughing at some of them is because I am guilty of, if not all of them, pretty much most of them. And sometimes when you realize how silly it sounds and how silly you're being, like, it's like laugh or cry at that point. You either have to like cry because you're so guilty or laugh like, oh my gosh, like I'm an idiot.
Right. Are there any of those that we could say like, oh, that doesn't apply to me?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm guilty of all of them.
Yeah. And so like, you know, those, again, like as we examine human psychology, these are pretty natural defaults that we have. So I think it's interesting. You could come up, and there's even a longer list. I didn't even list all of them. So there's all these shortcuts that our brain takes, or all these avenues that it tends to want to go down. And again, like a lot of it might be innocuous, but a lot of it, especially when we attribute it to the people that we encounter, can become rather harmful.
I mean, that's hard to me, or hard for me to hear, because I think something that we've talked about, and this is probably well in season one, is I love to hear people's stories, and I love to hear about where they come from and like learn about what they think and how they feel, just because I'm genuinely interested. But when we do things like this and put people in categories and then like exclude people because of these categories or our associations with these categories, we're like missing out on this like greater human experience, this greater human story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of what's at stake with this conversation. Like if we can't openly and honestly say like, yeah, I'm totally biased, not because I want to be, but because I just, you let your mind think the same way it's always thought, and you're not, you know, you're on autopilot. And so it's easier just to kind of continue forward than it is to like pause at the yield sign, look around, take a breath, like really examine what's really going on before proceeding.
Right. So, you know, and there's a lot of like, you know, some of these, sometimes we think about like maybe a smaller interaction. And, you know, if whether we're biased or not, maybe that small single interaction doesn't have a lot of bearing on life or on society. But for one, these add up. And especially for people who may be in certain demographic groups that are more subject to bias. Like, and that's why it's a little harder for me to talk about, because I feel like, and I've been asked the question, like, can you name times in your life that you felt like you were subject to bias? Honestly, like, it is hard for me to think of those times. And I'm sure there are, but I'm looking back and being like, actually, you know, I guess, at least in regards to this, I've had it pretty good.
Well, you're a privileged individual.
Right. Being
for a variety of reasons.
Right. Being a really good looking white.
Yeah.
I mean,
not the right episode for, yes, charming people.
Okay. But but being like a white guy, I have difficulty putting myself in, you know, the position of someone who, you know, I really might deal or be the recipient of others' negative biases on a daily basis. But that's why I think it's even more like on my shoulders to acknowledge that and to be proactive, because I could continue to coast on autopilot and just be like, yeah, life is great. It's great for me. It must be great for everyone else too, where that's not really the case. And if there's something more positive that I can contribute, that I want to know what that is and do it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not just your race either. The class that you were born into, the access and the education that you have. I mean, how many degrees do you have? Right? Some people don't even get the chance to pursue one and you have three. You know, so it's that, it's, you know, even freedom to, you know, exercise any kind of religious belief or non-belief, like it doesn't even matter. Like you have had the opportunity to like be who you are in an environment that accepts you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And some people don't have that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, I mean, you're straight and you're married and you have a family, right? So those are all things that people like lump into this good category, whereas anyone that deviates from that is not always in that same category.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then there are bigger consequences that come as a result of that too. And you think about, I think about like the in-group bias, for example, right? We tend to favor people who are like us. So, you know, for those of us who may be in a position of hiring others, then we got to think about as we look at the array of candidates, well, is it more likely, even without our intending it to be, that the candidates who are more like us tend to rise to the top? You know, is the likelihood of them getting hired more likely? And so, I mean, you can think about that in an array of categories too, where there's an opening for some degree of opportunity, who wields the controls to grant the access to those opportunities and who is left out.
Okay. I think, and this may be, I don't want it to sound ignorant, but
you know, I think we already do. Let's just get it out okay. there. Like, well,
but as we talk yeah. about this, like when we talk about like positions and candidates or jobs, or even like where we buy things or how we buy things, you know, we want, right. Kind of like you want the best of the best when you do all of those things. So
right.
is the goal to hire the best, or is the goal to be diverse? Is the goal to be inclusive? Like if, you know, candidates A and B are different and mm-hmm. one is better than the other, who do you give the job to? The best, or do you, right? Like, are right. you trying to be diverse? Like, I guess I wouldn't know like what the right answer is in that situation.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question too. And I don't have an answer. What comes to mind is also thinking too, like, you know, one, why can't your, you know, minority candidate also be the best? But like, what does it do for your overall organization at the same time? If you have everyone who kind of acts the same and thinks the same versus having, you know, a diverser organization. Is that a word, diverser?
A more diverse.
More diverse organization. So I feel like that helps the organization in, you know, other ways than what can maybe be so strictly, you know, broken down quantitatively on paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's fair for anybody listening to a conversation like this is like, you know, consider what your organization needs or consider what your school needs or what, like what kids need to see and factor that in as a high level of importance in terms of like the people around you, right? Like that you can coach anybody into anything. Mm-hmm. And so like what do you want people to see? Do you want them to see someone that looks like everybody else? Do you want them to feel inclusive and a part of it? Like, I think those things are important, but for a long time, those weren't important. Those were kind of scary or different. And so now, like, I think we just have to open our eyes to that is important.
Right. And just a brief aside about ignorance too. Like if we don't already sound ignorant, then we'll just lay it out there that I even feel rather ignorant about this. I was reading a book the other day and it said like actually the greatest scientific discovery of the last few hundred years was our own ignorance, right? We used to think we had it all figured out just as human civilization. But once we kind of acknowledged that there's more to learn, then that's where we really saw growth. And so I think that that's working right now too, I hope. Like I can acknowledge that there's a lot that we don't know and a lot to continue to explore, but that is going to lead to our growth rather than just feeling like we already figured it out a long time ago and things are fine.
I can't imagine that anybody thinks that they've figured anything out in this life. Like the older I get, like the more I feel like I don't know. Yeah. And the things that I thought were so sure or so understandable are not. And so, and maybe that is a result of like questioning why I believe the things I believe or how I feel towards those things or, you know, what I've been taught that doesn't really sit right with me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a great challenge from this conversation is like, you got to stop and ask yourself some of those questions.
Yeah. So I have a list here of, because I literally like have run this search. I've run it a number of times. I've read, you know, a bunch of books and articles and things to try to help me answer this question. Or it's not a question, I guess, but a statement like how to overcome bias.
Okay.
All right. So we're sitting here, we're talking like, all right, all these biases exist. It's really no crime to say like, I am biased because that's like the same as saying I am human. But we tend to hide that. So how do we acknowledge our bias and then how do we overcome it? So I have a list here.
Oh, okay. In my mind, sorry, maybe this is an aside and it's kind of silly. Cause when okay. we were talking about bias at the beginning, it was like, we have a preference for flavors and tastes and all of that. And so when you ask that question, like, how do we overcome it? You know, I was thinking about you and pizza on Friday nights, right?
My positive disposition towards pizza.
Your positive disposition towards pizza, because Friday night is takeout night, or it became takeout night during COVID to support local and all of that. And we've carried that on. God bless. I have one less night to cook. But let's listen.
I love how gorge on greasy food is you know, we code by saying support yes. local. Yeah.
You know, your preference every Friday night is pizza. And while I don't mind pizza, like, I don't want pizza every Friday night. And so, like, you know, you have that predisposition to like pizza and want to enjoy it. And I think if we're trying to overcome bias, then it's sometimes it's not about what you want. It's about considering others and what they want or what's beneficial for everyone. So you're telling
me you don't want pizza this Friday.
Yes. But that's kind of my thought is, like, we need to step outside of ourselves more often instead of thinking we know best or that we need to pursue what we want first. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this wasn't first on my list, but I'm going to list it here anyway.
Okay.
So one of the, just going off that, one of the recommendations, and I'm listing these almost as like action points for us.
Okay.
And for anyone listening that's inspired by any of these. So the first one is to have a growth mindset. So there's a researcher, Carol Dweck, I think she was from Stanford, kind of coined this term growth mindset, and she contrasted it to fixed mindset. And growth mindset is basically the posture of I have more to learn and I am capable of learning it. And the fixed mindset is that basically like I am
not a morning person.
Right. It's
but I could be.
It's a strict way of defining yourself, kind of closing yourself off to more knowledge or more growth. So I thought this was really interesting, but we tend to have a fixed mindset when it comes to how we think about and engage our biases. And we tend to be fixed in saying the kinds of statements like, oh, I don't have biases, or I'm colorblind. And because that's a very safe thing to say. Like it's safe to say I don't have biases, or I'm not acting on my biases. Because then, one, we confirm who we are, like
through bias, confirmation bias, right?
Right. We're confirming that we are a good person, right? We don't have these character defects. But it also, like, I think it makes us a little bit more comfortable as well. Like it's uncomfortable to admit that you have something to work on. Yeah. So. Anyway, so that's one of the suggestions is to just to have a growth mindset to be like, look, like I am not a perfect person. I have my biases, but I'm working on them.
And then actually work on them.
And then actually work on them. Yeah. Right. And I don't know, like, I didn't read this anywhere. I don't know if you can ever get to the point in life where you have like overcome your biases because it is such like an inbuilt, I'll get to some suggestions that maybe can help us like, you know, circumvent that a little bit, but it is such like a built-in feature of the human psychology that I think you're always going to have to develop the wherewithal to examine yourself and identify biases as they arise.
Well, and I would agree, like that natural inclination is probably always going to be there, but it's like, are you processing it? Are you attuned to it? Right. And then do you move past it, like, or work on moving, like, right? You can't just say that you're not. Like, okay, I am. This is what the bias is. All right. Instead of doing this, I'm going to, it's choosing to move past it. It's, yeah. You're never going to be bias free.
Yeah. And I'll bring this up too. And I'm probably mischaracterizing it, but I'll go here anyway. You know, I've heard the term woke, like over the last few years, especially over this past year. And to me, like, and maybe this is just my own, you know, like reading into the term, but it kind of seems like it's like so binary. Like I was asleep, at least in regards to my racial awareness, but now I am woke or I'm awake and aware of it. And I tend to picture it more on a spectrum where, you know, I was never totally like asleep or you're just tuned out to racial awareness and to biases. And I am continuing to like move along the spectrum to become more and more aware of it. I don't know if I could ever understand someone else's point of view so well that I unless I'm them, right? Which I can't. So it's just this ongoing process of trying to work, improve myself to try to obtain as close an understanding of someone else's perspectives and experiences.
Well, possible. And maybe that's where you are now. But what if you were in a scenario or in a different position where you do undergo the same scrutiny as somebody else and then you can understand their situation in a new way and really understand and move at a much quicker pace or, you know, move towards that. So, I mean, I know that term has been overused, but I don't think that that should discredit someone who maybe was very much on one side of the spectrum, very wholeheartedly, you know, ignorant and harsh and now sees the light. Like, I don't, just because that's not your experience doesn't mean that's not theirs, but you know, yeah, overusing that word I think is a problem.
Yeah. So, and maybe that's why maybe I don't feel like I even like understand my own use of it right now as much as I'd like. Anyway, back to our list here. We have, let's say, other ways to overcome bias. So we've heard this before, like don't say that you're colorblind. That doesn't really help. Instead,
because unless you literally cannot see color, like, right, your eyes and your body actually, right, like, notice difference, as we should.
Right. It says, like, you can't identify your biases if you pretend like you're colorblind, because we're as much as we can try to be colorblind, we're not. Like, we have these biases that our minds just automatically kind of take on. So instead, like, go looking for your biases.
Okay, and what happens when you look for them?
I do have that next step. Okay. All right, so, but that's, I wanted that to sink in. That was my pause for effect. All right, so for go looking for your biases. And it's okay to ask yourself, like, man, do I have a negative bias, like, towards this individual, towards this subgroup?
Community group, right? Yeah, subgroup.
Or, you know, did I just, was my interaction, you know, biased in some way? Did my bias manifest in some way during that interaction? All right. So once you do that and just like looking for it, self-examining, then look for, what I have in quotes here is disconfirming data that negate existing biases. So let's say you have, just a negative implicit bias towards Black men. Look at awesome Black men. Seek them out, whether in real life or, I mean, there's no shortage of, you know, I'll use the word like celebrities, but I mean, you know, politicians and writers and
thinkers,
journalists and scientists, right? And in, that has the effect of kind of counteracting the negative association that you might automatically make. You can, so that's another tip there. Another tip is take a test. So I reference this at the beginning. None of us want to say that we're biased, but if you take these tests, they're called touch tests. And so one link is at implicit.harvard.edu/implicit/take-a-touch-test. We'll put a link. but what it does is it flashes certain types of people and then certain like words or objects on the screen. And you have to respond as quickly as you can to the images that are appearing. But what it reveals is towards which type of person you have a positive disposition and towards which type of person you have a negative disposition. And you can do this for like all different kinds of people like we've listed already. So it's pretty interesting because you're like, well, yeah, like I have in my head, like a positive disposition towards all of these people. But when you take the test, what it reveals is that were you to link something negative towards somebody, then it shows you towards whom you would link it to. Okay. I'm probably not explaining that, but just go take the test.
Okay, yeah. Take the test.
Another fun activity that we can do is just do an inventory. So this is very concrete. People are like, what can I do? That's concrete. I'm trying to list some very concrete things. Another one is you can take an inventory. So this is a literal inventory. Who do you read, right? You want to read 21 books this year. And I'm constantly reading as well, books or articles or podcasts, things like that. So just like who are you exposed to? Are you exposed to the same types of people over and over and over again? Not necessarily bad, because I'm sure they're thoughtful and inspiring in their own ways. But if we want to try to overcome our biases, we also want to be exposed to, you know, a diversity of people who are influencing us in that manner. So you can do that with who you read. Also, just take a look at your social media. Who do you follow? Who are the people you're allowing to share their thoughts and ideas with you? So just go through your Instagram feed. You can go through your Twitter feed, and so on. And also, I put this one down. No one suggested this to me, but I thought this was interesting, is this question of who do we invite on our teams? And I mean teams in the broadest sense. So this is at work, this is in our community, this is wherever we may inhabit. Are we seeking out, or do we feel like the most comfortable with, or like the, is it the safest to approach people who we already know, or people who are just like us? Or are we being a little bit more intentional with trying to diversify the range of people that we're working alongside?
But also not just for the sake of trying to be diverse, but like understanding that everybody has a lot of different experiences and a lot to learn from. And so like wanting to learn from other people who are different than you and have a different perspective, because once we learn to like listen and understand their perspective, like we can tap into like another source of like thinking and believing and feeling that is reflected in a diverse world around us, yeah, where it's not just everybody who's just like us.
Right. And so that's another suggestion too. This one's a little harder, but it is like, just like make more diverse friends. And that one to me, like it seems very practical, because then, you know, you have a way of like genuinely understanding someone who's not identical to you.
But is it disingenuous to seek out someone who is different than you to start a friendship?
Right.
Right.
Right. Correct. So that one, obviously you want to be authentic with as well. But this is where I think like some of the other things I'm listing come into play. Like, all right, so I can't, you know, you can't have a deep relationship with really that many people in general. But you can't, like, we're talking about like who you're reading, whose stories you're hearing and so on. So that's why I really like, this book, Tell Me Who You Are, which is just a book of like really like short stories, people from across all 50 states, all, you know, different demographics, just telling their set of stories and experiences. It's like, all right, I'm never going to meet any of these people, but, and I wouldn't call them my friends, but I would say like, I'm genuinely to open my mind to what people's experiences are other than my own, or people just like me.
Yeah.
I wanted to share this too. It's a little overdue actually. So I brought this book with me called Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. I mentioned this on the show before, I'm pretty sure, because there's a lot of good thoughts on it. But Annie Duke teaches better decision-making using, she's a poker champion. So she uses poker as an analogy for a lot of the decisions here. But one of the things that stood out to me was this, she gives an optical illusion here. And what's funny is that even when you know it's an optical illusion that you're looking at, it doesn't make the illusion go away. And she ties this to bias and to decision-making. Here's one quick quote of hers about it. She says, being aware of our irrational behavior and wanting to change is not enough, in the same way that knowing that you're looking at a visual illusion is not enough to make the illusion go away. So what I'm saying is like being aware of your bias and wanting to change it is not enough. Like you actually need to, it doesn't make it go away.
Take a step.
Yeah. So these steps that I'm listing are ones, it's like you actually need to do something, because, you know, the bias is so insistent, so persistent that
it's like a natural default.
It doesn't just go away on its own.
Right.
Right.
So you have to kind of make a new path, or a new, what do they call it in your brain? Like it's like a new like route for your, you have to train your brain to think differently.
Yeah.
So that you're not stuck in that same pattern.
Yeah. So here's another one too. This is, again, from Jennifer Eberhardt. She says, there are certain conditions under which we become more vulnerable to it, to bias. She says, when we're thinking fast and moving fast. So we just think like in any given moment, like when there's a certain, you know, uptick in the speed at which we're interacting or responding to whatever the circumstance may be. That's especially when our brain needs to take these shortcuts. So she says we can slow down and make a shift, so we're less likely to act on bias. So just slow down is what I took from that, so that we can like take a, you know, if possible, like take a pause, take a step back, and then we can maybe better understand the kinds of decisions
or react more appropriately. It makes me think of your car scenario, right? Someone's weaving in out of traffic. You're driving fast, right? Cars are swooping in, whatever, right? And like, what's the first thing that you say, right? You're blaming, you know, some kind of bad driving on a certain group or a certain person for a certain reason, because like that's the quickest reaction. It's just kind of like that gut reaction, as opposed to like calming down and thinking about what you say and what comes out of your mouth.
Right. And so we're really talking about like being rational, which sounds really simple, but when we have, you know, like chemicals and when we have emotions just kind of like starting to flow through us, it's really difficult at the moment to just analyze our own thinking and behavior and say like, wait, am I operating under any sort of bias at the moment? Or am I, you know, so, but that's kind of what it takes. And it takes, we almost have to gift ourselves, you know, the ability to slow down and to think through it.
I appreciate that about you. Cause even sometimes like when someone upsets me or something upsets me, you'll say like, yeah, but is this because like they really did something wrong? Or it's because you're like going on this bias, like this perceived bias of like what they've done because they've done things wrong. And like, it's like, you always get me to like stop and pull back. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Cause you're like, you kind of help filter me a little bit. And I've said the same thing to you where it's like, you know, someone who has done wrong, right? Like you're going to just continue to blame them. But it's like, is that really fair? Is that really what the case is? Or is it just easier to blame someone or something, mm-hmm. right? Or some group of people because it's like, because of one interaction one time.
Right.
Right. Because
so
I,
easy. That's your fundamental understanding of it at the beginning. And then right. you never,
I am a woman driver. And so if I cut someone off, right? Like, right. Is my driving like, you know, on display for every other driver that's like, it's, you know, I'm just one person. Yeah. I'm not at fault for the, or everybody in my category is not at fault for the way that I drive.
Yeah. So, you know, ultimately there's other steps there as well. And I think it just requires this awareness and then this commitment to, or sorry, first like an awareness. And then I would say like getting past the denial of it. And just saying like, yeah, like this, like I'm human. I have biases. I don't want to have biases. So, you know, I'm going to continually work on myself in this regard. And so the last one that I wrote down is just love the person in front of us. See them for the humanity they possess.
Well, which reminds me of our, you know, Love Thy Neighbor episode, right? Mm-hmm. Just looking at someone and seeing the commonality between you instead of what's different.
Right.
Right. Whether Cubs or Sox fan, right. It should not matter.
Sure. So again, like a lot of these are easier said than done and it takes work. And I think that is, you know, another thing that makes it so challenging too. Like I would love to just flip a switch and be the kind of person I want to be and make society the kind of place it ought to be. But it's not that simple. So I feel like if you and I can talk about it and work on ourselves in this regard, maybe that can, you know, help spur more conversations and more work on others as well.
Right. Well, and like we said, we don't have it all figured out, mm-hmm. right? Like some of the things we've said today are, you know, probably sound ignorant or right. What was the first bias that you had mentioned?
I forgot the name.
Already. It was a mouthful.
The Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right. Like,
yeah, we think we know so much. Already
right. And we'll be the first ones to tell you, we don't have it all figured out. We're trying just to move in the direction of figuring it out a little bit better and doing a little bit better so that ourselves, our family, our community, this little part of the world that we call home can move to being better. Mm-hmm. So do you have some takeaways? You had all of those steps, but...
Yeah, I listed those action steps. It looks like you listed some takeaways, though.
I did. There's two, and they're pretty quick. The first one is no one is immune, so check your blind spots. We're all biased. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, you know, tell me that you're not biased, I feel like... I'm not sure where to go from there. That means you have nothing left to learn. So we all have blind spots.
Yeah.
They might be small, but they're there. And number two.
So are you biased against people?
I am biased against people who say they don't have a bias. Okay, yes, okay. But I can admit that.
All right. Good can for they? You.
Number two, biases are natural. We make thousands of decisions every day, some more important than others. Make sure that the ones that do matter are not based on a bias, but rather on reflective judgment and critical thinking. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
All right.
Short and sweet.
Well, good. Well, this is obviously like, it's not something that we can just like check up off a list, but it's almost like once you're aware of it, you almost have to be perpetually aware of those biases and do our best to counteract them. So I'm looking forward to know, having those moments where we can continue to talk through this and work on ourselves.
Yeah, I think accountability is huge with it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us for episode 11. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the kind of conversation that obviously spurs a lot of, I hope, good thoughts and also feelings as well. And you know, if you have experiences or if you have advice that we can learn from, then we're all ears. So keep it coming our way. We're always grateful to hear from you. Thanks for listening today. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.